Brothers and sisters, this is the night when all who believe in Christ are delivered from the gloom of sin and restored to grace and holiness of life. This service is, I'm sure you've heard me say it before, my favorite service of the whole liturgical year, because it's the night when we just get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the very moment that our entire faith is founded upon. Every other week we're talking about implications, we're talking about other things, but tonight it is just the thing itself, the resurrection of Jesus. It's the moment upon which everything else hinges. To be a Christian isn't at its root following a particular set of ethics. It's not about our transaction with God where we receive grace for faith. It's not even in that sense about a relationship. All those things are true, but Christianity is fundamentally about the proclamation that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. It's the assertion that death and sin do not get the final word. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, all things are being made new, or as one author puts it, everything sad will come untrue. The theme of our readings this evening is baptism. Water is this incredibly powerful image throughout Scripture. It often symbolizes sort of untamed chaos. So in creation, it's the thing that the Spirit hovers over before God even says, "Let there be anything." He spoke those words, bringing order into the chaos. In the flood, we see how God allows chaos to fill the world just like humans had already filled it with violence. God delivers his people then in the ark, and he chooses to keep them above the waters. In Exodus, he leads them through the waters in the Red Sea, and he holds the waters back so that his people can walk through. And then in the belly of the great fish, Jonah is spared from the sea. We often imagine like, oh, poor Jonah, he got swallowed by the great fish. But in reality, that great fish saved him from the storm in which he had died. So again and again, when there is the chaos of the world, God holds it back. Except Jesus was not spared. He didn't escape the waters. He was plunged into them. Which is why baptism is a symbol of death and life, because in it we're united to his death and thus given a promise of the same new life that he received. There's this famous saying by Leslie Newbegin. It goes like this: "I'm neither a pessimist nor an optimist. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead." It's this fundamental reality that I don't need to spend my life wondering, is tomorrow going to be better? How is the next day going to be for me? Because I just know the end of the story. Tonight, we remember and proclaim this cornerstone of reality because we remember it not because life is easy, but because life is hard, because the world is chaotic, and so often it's going to look to us as if evil has the upper hand. That's exactly how it seemed in that first Saturday after Jesus' crucifixion, but it was not so then, and it is not so now. This means that we can walk in faith, living as if we really believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. Living as if we no longer need to fear death or any enemy because their defeat is sure. It means we don't have to resort to violence. We don't have to resort to vengeance. It means we can love our enemies. We can forgive people who hurt us because we don't have to fear that giving things up means we'll lose out in the end. We don't have to hoard our resources. We don't have to chase after power and influence because the age to come is already breaking in. It means we can all come to God no matter how broken we feel or how hard things might be because we know that victory has been secured. John Chrysostom said it best, so I'm going to close with his very short Easter sermon that I read last year, and it's going to become a tradition here. Here's what he said that first, or his Easter night, not the first Easter night, but this is what he said. "Are there any who are devout lovers of God? Let them enjoy this bright, beautiful festival. Are there any who are grateful servants? Let them rejoice and enter into the joy of their Lord. Are there any weary with fasting? Let them now receive their wages. If any have toiled from the first hour, let them receive their due reward. If any have come after the third hour, let him with gratitude join in the feast. The one that arrived in the sixth hour, let them not doubt, for they too shall sustain no loss. And if any delayed until the ninth hour, let them not hesitate, but let them come too. And the one who arrived only at the 11th hour, let them not be afraid by reason of the delay. For the Lord is gracious and receives the last even as the first. He gives rest to him that comes at the 11th hour as well to him that toiled from the first. To this one he gives and upon another he bestows. He accepts the works and he greets the endeavor, the deed he honors, the intention he commends. Let us all enter into the joy of the Lord. First and last alike, receive your reward. Rich and poor, rejoice together. Sober and slothful, celebrate the day. You that have kept the fast and you that have not, rejoice today, for the table is richly laden. Feast royally on it. The calf is a fatted one. Let no one go away hungry. Partake all of the cup of faith. Enjoy all the riches of his goodness. Let no one grieve at his poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one mourn that they have fallen again and again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destroyed it by enduring it. He destroyed hell when he descended into it. He put it into an uproar, even as it tasted of his flesh. Isaiah foretold this when he said, "You, O hell, have been troubled by encountering him below." Hell was in an uproar because it was done away with. It was in an uproar because it is mocked. It was in an uproar, for it is destroyed. It is in an uproar, for it is annihilated. It is in an uproar, for it is now made captive. Hell took a body and discovered God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. Christ is risen, and the tomb is emptied of its dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now we get a chance at the vigil to remember our own vows, our own baptism. So please stand with me as we renew our baptismal vows. Through the Paschal mystery, dear friends, we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death and raised with him to newness of life. I call upon you, therefore, now that our Lenten observance is ended, to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism, by which we once renounced the devil and all his works and promised to serve God faithfully in his one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Do you here in the presence of God and the Church renew the solemn promises and vows made at your baptism and commit yourself to keep them?
I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the empty promises and deadly deceits of this world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the sinful desires of the flesh that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you joyfully receive the Christian faith as revealed in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments?
I do.
Will you obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in them all the days of your life?
I will, the Lord
being my helper. Let us now reaffirm our faith in the words of the ancient baptismal confession, the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I do.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ?
I do.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I do.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their doctrine, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.